antidote to complaining. A quick question. How many of you never complained this past week about anything, the weather, anything? Okay, you have honesty there. Maybe this morning. Okay, that means we do this, we play this game quite regularly then. You don't need to look guilty. We all do. Complaining is a universal human tendency. Most times we do it without even knowing we're doing it. From Israel in the wilderness to us in traffic jams, we all find reasons to murmur. It's rainy, the sun is shining too hot, I'm hot and cold, horrible weather, horrible country, horrible... You're the only perfect thing that ever happened to humanity, isn't it? Someone said, complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of someone else's mouth, but not your own. Yet, Scripture takes complaining very seriously. Numbers 21 shows us that Israel's grumbling against God and the Lord's servant Moses had deadly consequences. I'm not saying this so that you don't complain against me. I'm just saying what the Bible says. Yeah. Centuries later, James equally exhorted believers not to grumble against one another. Oh, that brother's own is too much. Rather than doing that, we're told to be patient and to pray instead of complaining. So this morning, we'll look at three alternatives, three antidotes to complaining. And trust me, these are more creative than grumbling and complaining. The first one we're going to look at is gratitude. The second one is patience. And the third thing we're going to look at is prayer. What's the first thing?
Gratitude.
What's the second?
Patience.
What's the third?
Prayer.
Well done. Gratitude, patience, and prayer. So we kick off with gratitude as an antidote to complaining. Israel, a nation that had been miraculously delivered from Egypt, they saw the clouds of fire. God parted the Red Sea before them. He sustained them with manna. He protected them from enemies. Yet, in verse 4 of that reading from Numbers chapter 21, what did Israel say? They said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" Before then, we were told they were impatient. He said the people became impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, the Lord's servant. "Why have you brought us up out of the land of slavery? Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness where there is no food, where there is no water, and our souls detest this miserable food?" Does that sound like one of us? "Horrible food, mommy, you've cooked today, or wife, or husband. Can't you do better?" Notice how complaining distorts reality. They had bread, they had manna, but they called it miserable, worthless. They had water from the rock, but they said there was none. Complaining blinds us to the Lord's blessing. Complaining equally dishonors God, because when you criticize the Lord's servants, and the Lord's servants are not just priests like Pastor Shola or like myself, those are appointed to rule over us in government. They are the Lord's servants. And some of us, that's just our favorite game, favorite sport. It doesn't matter if it's Tory or Labour or anyone. It's just, you know, even things they don't know about, like the pothole or in your garden, you know, you just complain, you know, yeah. And when they were, in their mind, they were probably just criticizing Moses. But in the Lord's sight, that was synonymous with rejecting God's provision. Complaining also damages community. When we complain, it's infectious. It spreads negativity. A murmuring spirit is contagious. God doesn't like murmuring, complaining. God responded in that reading with fiery serpent, which was a vivid picture of how grumbling releases venom into our souls and society. Complaining, murmuring poisons the soul. It is venomous. Because it's not like killing or what are the horrible other things we think are horrible sins, blackmailing or whatever you think we have a funny way of stratifying or classifying sins. Yeah. Yes, probably taking someone else's wife is more, in our judgment, horrible than complaining about Moses or about the Lord's servant, or, you know. But God is the true judge, and it demonstrated in this reading that he treats complaining, grumbling very seriously. I heard a story of two sisters during the Second World War. Corrie ten Boom, many of us must have heard about her, a Dutch lady who helped a lot of people during the World War. But Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were imprisoned in a flea-infested barrack. And as one does, Corrie began to complain. But Betsy reminded her of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which says that in everything, give thanks. And she said, even for the fleas. Later, they discovered that the fleas kept the guards away, allowing them to hold Bible studies in peace. I remember when I used to complain about the foxes who used to come to my garden, and I was chasing them away. And then my garden got overrun by squirrels. And they dug so bad that I was literally praying for the foxes to come back. Genuinely, I started leaving them food. A lot of the things we complain about may be blessings in disguises, and we just don't know. Complaining is often a product of ingratitude. And it's, even though, you know, it looks benign, but it's not. It is something spiritual. The problem is we often don't see it as anything wrong because it's very subtle. Ah, come on, it's just a simple moan. I mean, no harm in that. We heard in our reading this morning that many perished in the wilderness for it. Did you see that in your reading? Many people die, and many people are still dying today. We just don't know it because of grumbling, moaning, ingratitude. When the people eventually saw the murmuring and complaining as sinful, and thank God they saw that, I'm not sure we see it a lot in this generation. When they eventually realized that, they confessed their wrongdoing. They turned back to God to have mercy on them. And God intervened. He told Moses to lift up a bronze serpent, which was a shadow image for the cross of Christ. Gratitude should always be our default attitude. And you need to work hard to make this happen because it's not our default setting. Moaning and complaining, it's the default setting. So we need to work on making gratitude our default attitude. Gratitude shifts the focus from what is lacking to what God has given. Paul, writing from a prison yard, tells the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanksgiving breaks the cycle of complaining. Thanksgiving breaks the cycle of complaining. Many people are not just Christians, have seen and are seeing the power of gratitude in their lives. I've now heard people, and these are some of them not even Christians, saying one should keep a gratitude journal. This is now mainstream. I've heard others say things like, start and end the day with some specific things you are grateful for. When you wake up in the morning and before you go to bed, think of one of two things. This is becoming mainstream. The Bible has always told us about that. The world is catching up now. The point is, a thankful heart cannot complain and rejoice at the same time. Now, don't get me wrong. Some days or seasons of life could be awful. And I'm not saying we should not be rude and acknowledge our circumstances. No, I'm not saying that at all. But despite, irrespective of what we're going through, we can always acknowledge our situation realistically without descending into the abyss of murmuring and complaining. I'll give you an example of how to put that into practice. Many of you, might have heard of Matthew Henry, the famous Bible commentator. Matthew Henry Bible commentary. If you ever use Bible commentary, it's one of those big names. At one point, he was robbed. That's not a good thing, isn't it? And I mean, you get robbed, you moan, you're lucky not to curse and whatever. And of course, that was a traumatizing episode. And he wrote in his diary, "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. So this is the first. Second, because though they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took all, it was not much. Fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Could you see the way he twisted around the situation? That is a way to put this thing into action. He acknowledged the situation. He was robbed. I mean, there's no need. I mean, you cannot over-spiritualize that. He was robbed. It was annoying. But flipped it on its side. Thank God. I was the one robbed. I wasn't the one doing the robbing. And he went on and on. Secondly, patience as an antidote, to complaining. James told us in his writing that we should be patient unto the coming of the Lord. We should establish our hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Complaining often arises from a soul that is impatient. We want results now. We want relief now. James says we need to learn to be patient. The farmer, you know, he talked about, you know, how the farmer waits for the harvest. It's only an amateur farmer that will keep going to turn on the seed he just planted yesterday to see, oh yeah, the shoots should be coming out now. He also talked in that reading from James 5 about how the prophets endured suffering with faith. He mentioned the example of people like Job, who persevered and saw the Lord's compassion. Patience is a virtue that is being eroded very fast, particularly in this generation. We all need to return to that virtue. Patience is not it's not passive resignation, but active trust. Patience says God is not finished yet. The famous 19th century Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon once said, by perseverance, the snail reached the ark. That is Noah's ark. You wonder, I mean, you had cheetahs and jaguars, those fast animals getting into the ark. The snail also got in, apparently. The snail, by patience, reached the ark. We still celebrate and reference Nelson Mandela today. And a lot of the reasons why we do that had to do with the outworkings of his patience. Although Mandela wasn't always like that in his younger days, but in prison he learned patience and endurance. He learned patience and endurance, and he learned that rather than allowing complaining and murmuring or self-pity to overwhelm one, we could choose to develop patience, vision, and forgiveness instead. And when he eventually emerged from incarceration, he was prepared to lead his nation of South Africa into reconciliation rather than bitterness or vengefulness or more complaining. Patience as a way of redeeming trials, while complaining simply multiplies them. Sadly, many of the virtues of Mandela stood and fought for after his release from prison, sadly, many of those virtues have been thrown in the bin now. They've not been preserved in South Africa. People are reverting to a life of murmuring and grumbling and complaining, and the results are all over the country these days. Finally, prayer. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Complaining talks about problems. Prayer talks to God about them. The problem, through prayer, become fuel for the fire of prayer. Prayer converts grumbling into groaning before God, which the Spirit then transforms into hope. We were reminded Elijah was not an alien. He was a man like us. He prayed earnestly for the rain to stop. He prayed again and the rain came. Prayer changes situations and hearts. I heard a story of a German evangelist called George Muller, who lived in Bristol in the 1800s. He cared for over 10,000 orphans in Bristol. He fundraised and all that. He never complained of money. He prayed on a regular basis. On one occasion where there was no food at all to feed those children with, he gathered the children, prayed, and thanked God for the meal they are about to receive. Just then, a baker knocked on the door with fresh bread. And just as that was happening, a milk cart broke down outside, providing free milk for them. When tempted to complain, remember stories like this. It's best we turn those potential complaints into prayer. Instead of, why me, Lord? Why don't we pray? What do you want to teach me, Lord, through this situation? As I conclude, please, this week, let's reflect on gratitude, patience, and prayer as antidotes to complaining. Complaining never lifts anyone up. Prayer does. Gratitude does. Patience does. Shall we bow our heads and our hearts to pray? Our Father and our God, we give thanks once again for this morning. We are guilty of this sin of ingratitude, impatience, and prayerlessness as our default setting when confronted by life challenges. God, we pray, teach us to replace complaining with gratitude, to thank you daily. Teach us to replace impatience with patience, trusting in your timing. Teach us to replace grumbling with prayer, bringing our frustrations to you instead of murmuring and lashing out on others. Above all, Lord, lift our eyes to Christ, the true antidote to complaining. Forgive us for our murmuring hearts. Teach us to be thankful, patient, prayerful, and encouraging. We pray for all the places where there are sufferings in our world, just because people cannot be patient with others. Just because people cannot be grateful for the beauty of diversity of your creation. We remember Ukraine, we remember Yemen, we remember Sudan. We remember other places where there are so much chaos because of our ingratitude, because of our lack of patience, because of us choosing war instead of peace and a life of prayer. God, have mercy. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us, Lord, to make this world a better place by trusting in you through our actions, through our thoughts, through our deeds. All this we ask for in the name of Jesus. Amen.